Today, I want to speak with you from the Gospel of St. John. I want you to turn to John chapter 21. And I want us to read a very interesting conversation that takes place with Peter. Although the conversation in and of itself in the first part is not our focus, I want to bring it in on purpose just to see how Jesus was talking to Peter. And then we'll get to our message. And so, the Gospel of St. John, chapter 21, and I want us to begin reading it in verse 15. Just a quick backdrop. Jesus has now resurrected from the dead. He was already on the cross. He was in the grave for 3 days. Now he is resurrected. He's alive post-cross, okay, after the cross, but before he ascended into heaven. Verse 15, and so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, love thou me more than these? And he said to him, yea, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? And he said unto him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said unto him, feed my sheep. And he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? And Peter grieved because he had said to him the third time, do you love me? He said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked wherever you wanted to. But when you shall be old, you shall stretch forth your hands, and another shall gird you and carry you whether you would not. This spake he, in other words, Jesus said this, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. I want you to say that, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, saw the disciple who Jesus loved following, who also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, who is he that betrays you? And Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? And Jesus said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him that he shall not die, but if he will that he tarry till he comes, what is that to you? And so I want you to look at this one verse again, verse 22. He says, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. And that's what I want to speak with you on today. You follow me. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would help me to give, Lord, what you have given to me. I pray, Lord, where I am not able to clearly express what you have spoken, that you would, through the power of your Holy Spirit, make it clear in the heart and in the spirit of your people. I ask that you'd remove from our minds distraction and help us to hear what you are saying. And I thank you for all that you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen. It's an amazing thing how that our Christian experience is something that we love to be shared. We love to be around God's people, I think. We really, as God's people, should enjoy one another, for we are God's church. We, as the Bible has proclaimed, must learn to love one another. We must learn to be able to spend time with each other, because whether we like it or not, we will be spending eternity together. Amen? But on the other hand, not only is it a place where we like to be together and share our relationship with God, there is something about the individuality of our relationship with God as well. How that we don't serve God just because our family does, or we can't expect to get into heaven because our grandmother was a godly lady. The gospel itself ultimately zeroes in on the individual. And you will find in the scripture how important that very word is. When Jesus began his public ministry, he originally started alone. The Spirit of God, after his baptism, drove him into the wilderness. And after 40 days and 40 nights of trial and testing, he came out of the wilderness with the power of God. He ended up in one of the synagogues that he had been a part of for a long time, where the religious leaders had themselves been. But Jesus came into that synagogue after that wilderness experience with the anointing, the power of God, to such an extent that the demons that used to sit in that congregation comfortably were now uncomfortable. And the Bible says that while Jesus was there in that synagogue, all of a sudden the demons began to manifest and Jesus called them out. And all of a sudden these miracles and these amazing things began to transpire, began to take place, and people began to hear about this man, Jesus Christ. And obviously people began to look after Jesus. They began to follow him. But Jesus, as he was walking through various places, would eventually come upon certain people like Peter, and he would say to Peter, "Follow me." He would come to John, and John would be there working with his father in the boat, and he would say to John, not to someone else, but to John himself, and he said to him, "Follow me." And the Bible says that John would go and finish mending the nets and would leave his father and begin to follow Jesus. His brother James, the same, as well as the rest of the original 12 apostles. There was that clarion sound, that call of God that said to them as individuals, "Follow me." And Jesus told them, even with specifics, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And they began to follow Jesus, and their lives were changed. They began to follow Jesus wherever Jesus went. They ministered with Jesus. Jesus would eventually call them to go and minister two by two with groups of 50. He'd send them out two by two, and they went and proclaimed the gospel. Amazing things transpired. All of this to say, every one of them were called by name. And I'm here to tell you that every one of you and all of us here are unique to God. God loves you. He doesn't love you because you're a part of that family. He loves you as an individual. He created you with the personality that you have. He loves you. He sees through the masks. You know, we can easily put on masks when we're at school. And we come around a certain group of people and we begin to act a particular way. And then when we're at home, we act a different way. You know, we have a way of putting on masks, don't we? We go to the job and we act one way there, but then we are different ways in other places. But God loves you, the real you. The one that no one else really, really knows. The only one that may be the closest to knowing who you really are is maybe your husband, your wife, maybe your parents. But for the most part, there is a person, an individual that God created. And God loves you. And God has a plan and a call for every one of you, and I myself, that is unique to me and unique to you. Earlier today, we were talking about the Apostle Paul and his ministry, how God revealed the gospel to him by revelation. And I'm thankful to God that Paul chose of his own accord to follow God, and God made his plan for Paul's life to come to fruition. God has a plan for your life. He has a future for you. He has a plan for your house, for your home, for your children, and it is unique to you. God loves you and has a plan. And so here in this story, we find Jesus talking to Peter, and he begins to ask Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter at the end, after the third time, he says, "Lord, you know everything. Of course you know I love you." But Jesus wasn't saying, "Do you love me?" for Peter to say, "Yes, I love you." He was saying it to Peter to reveal to Peter how much Peter really loved Jesus. Because God does know everything, doesn't he? And he's dealing with Peter here because, remember, Peter prior to this, before Jesus went on the cross, he had denied the Lord three times. And so now he's reiterating the fact of love, three different times, and he tells them first to feed his lambs and then to feed his sheep. God would begin something in Peter, a work of restoration, a work where God would raise Peter up to be the first apostle to preach the gospel in the book of Acts chapter 2. Peter, the unlearned man, the fisherman, the one that wasn't educated, the one that earned his living by doing what he, his parents, his fathers had done, but it wasn't his college degrees that got him anywhere. And God would raise him up to be the forerunner of the early church to preach the gospel. Miracles would take place through this man, so he's restoring Peter to a particular place. But then, as all of this is taking place, he tells Peter, look, when you were young, you would clothe yourself and you would go wherever you wanted to go. But I'm telling you now, Peter, when you get old, there's coming a day when you will lift up your hands and someone else is going to clothe you, and you will go where you don't even want to go. And the scripture explains it by saying that it was showing by what death he would glorify God. Peter, after proclaiming the gospel as the apostle to the Jews, but ultimately one of the pillars of the early church, would preach the gospel through many areas of the Roman Empire. And when Nero, one of the Roman emperors of the time, began to hate Christians, he began to want to blame all the wrong done on the Christians just to kill them. He even set Rome on fire in 12 different places on purpose to try to one day rebuild it, but then he blamed the fires on the Jews. On the Christians, I should say. This madman, the Emperor Nero, was so against Christianity that he would eventually put to death the chiefest apostles. That would be the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter. Peter would ultimately give his life on a cross, and he would die not right side up, because when they were going to hang him on the cross, he said, no, don't hang me right side up. Don't hang me in the same way Jesus hung, because I'm not worthy to die the same way. And so they hung him upside down on a cross. The pain of the death of a cross was excruciating. But I can only imagine what it would be like upside down. Peter would give his life as a martyr. And I can only imagine, after hearing what Jesus said, he would wonder, well, you're telling me about how I'm going to die. You're telling me that when I was young I could do whatever I wanted, but when I'm old I'm not going to be able to be just as free as I once was, and I'm going to give my life a particular way. He begins to look around him. I can only imagine, maybe they were walking down a path, a familiar path that they walked along as apostles with Jesus. But as they're walking along, the scripture says that he looked around. It says in verse 20, then Peter turning about, that means that he took time to look around. And he must have looked back, or he must have looked to his side. He turned about, and when he turned about, he saw John. John, of all the apostles, was the youngest. They say he was in his teens. He was not in his 30s. He was not in his 20s. He was a teenager. And he followed Jesus as a youth. Isn't that beautiful? He was young, and he had an intimate walk with Jesus. And it says here, verse 20, then Peter, turning about, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, who is he that betrays you? See, John is the writer of this gospel, and he's explaining what happened. He was there walking behind Peter and Jesus, and he remembers, I'm sure, as Peter probably turned around and spoke to Jesus, said, well, what about him? You see, John described himself as the one that Jesus loved. Can you describe yourself that way? It's true. God loves you. Jesus loves you. Can you describe yourself like John? The one that Jesus loves? You should be able to. All of us should, amen? Because he loves you. It says there, he looked around and saw the one that Jesus loved, and he's the same one that laid his head on Jesus' breast, his bosom, when Jesus was going to be betrayed. Remember at the Last Supper? It was John that was so close to Jesus, he laid his head on Jesus' chest. That signifies something very intimate. If you lay your head on anyone's chest, you'll hear their heart, won't you? And there's something very intimate about him. John was intimate with his Jesus, and he heard the very heart of God there. So Peter says, well, what about him? And it says, Peter seeing him, verse 21, he said to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? What shall he do? And Jesus said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you? You follow me, Peter. You follow me. And I want to bring it back to the individuality of our relationship with God. There are times in our life when we begin to walk with God and God begins to speak to us and he's telling us about things and we begin to wonder, well, what about them? What about her? What about him? And Peter was wondering. I'm sure he was sincere. I mean, he had just heard a little bit about how he was going to give his life. Well, what about him? And he says, if it is my will that he remains alive until I come back, what is that to you, Peter? It doesn't matter. Your relationship with me should not be contingent on what happens to John. Your relationship with me should not be contingent on what happens to anyone else. I want you, Peter, to walk with me. He says, you follow me, Peter. And I'm sure as he heard those words, he was probably taken aback to that very first time when he was on one of the boats. And he heard Jesus saying, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I'm sure it was amazing. I'm sure it impacted him. I mean, look at verse 19. He had told him even there. It says, this spake he, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, to Peter, follow me. Follow me, Peter. And now he says, well, what about John? He says, don't worry about John. You follow me. And so I'm here to tell you this morning that God wants you to follow him. He doesn't want you to wait for, well, I'll follow you when my best friend starts going to church. Then I'll mean business. I'll wait till my family starts going to church. No, he's saying, you follow me. I know last week I told the story of how I had to make a decision when my mother was weeping because she didn't want me to go to church, the church I was going to. She wanted me instead to go to her church. But sadly, we really rarely went to her church. We really rarely went. But of course, when it came down to it, she wanted me to go with her. But I had to make a decision because in essence, Jesus was saying, you follow me, James. And I had to make a decision to follow. And God is speaking. He's speaking to all of us. And he's saying to you as an individual, you follow me. I remember one time at the Bible school, I was still learning. I was still growing. Not that I've arrived. I'm still learning and growing now. But I remember they would describe how that, you know, there was a lot of young people at the Bible school. I mean, they're fresh, you know, out of high school, a lot of them, you know, some of them out of homeschool. And they were young. And I remember the statement would sometimes come out periodically how that, you know, the young people can expect to go to heaven on the coattails of their parents. And I remember at first I was like, huh? It didn't register right. But then I began to understand how unique our relationship with God is, how individualized it is, how God has a plan for you. And so, look, it doesn't necessarily matter who is to the left or the right of you. You follow him. And as you follow him as an individual, pray for the one to the left and right of you. Yes, be very concerned about those that are next to you. Pray for them. Believe God together. Let's hold hands. Let's believe God together in our walk with him. Amen? I'm talking about joining our hands together as a force, as a church, following after Jesus. We need each other as a body. Every one of us is unique in that body. All of us are individuals, and yet we make up the one whole body of Christ. Amen? But remember, you are an individual part. And you alone are able to talk to God the way you talk to him. When your voice is heard in his ears, he hears your voice alone. And so you are very important to God. Every one of you. I am important to God as an individual. And God has a plan specific for you. And so I want to encourage you to seek the heart of God and ask him, Lord, what do you have for me? Don't say, Lord, well, what of them, or what of her, or what of that church, or what of this? Lord, what is it that you have for me? And in the same way, he was specific to Peter here and showed him things about his life. He will show you things about you and about your future and things he wants to do in your life. You know, I always love the testimony of one of our pastors from Times Square Church. His name is Pastor Carter Conlon. And I've always enjoyed his testimony. If you ever get a chance to hear it, it's his testimony. It's a testimony of a heart set free, something like that. If you ever go to sermonindex.net, it's a place where you can listen to sermons from all kinds of preachers. Sermonindex.net. Search in the search bar for Carter Conlon, heart set free, or something like that. And it's his testimony. It's a powerful testimony. How God would take this policeman who was hardened by what he saw, the things that he saw in his life, and how God saved him, made him a sheep herder, and then eventually made him a pastor. And then from a pastor to pastor, a big church like Times Square Church. It's a beautiful story. You know, we hear these stories, we hear these testimonies of individuals, but I'm here to tell you there is only going to be one testimony that you will have, and it's your testimony. And it's important, it is precious, and it's going to be unique to you. But if you will give God a chance in your life, if you will give him that chance, he will do something beautiful in your life. But he's not going to force himself into your life or mine. We're the ones that give him the reins of our heart. Lord, here I am. Here's the reins. You know, like when you have a horse with reins, it steers the horse. Here's the reins of my heart. Amen? And you be Lord and Master of my life. And you'll be surprised at what God will do in and through your life. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, what is it? If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. You follow me. Amen? You follow me. Let's stand this morning.